holding on page, we're holding on page Ein Aleph, the last line of Ois Kof Yud, the first line of the widest lines. When we stopped yesterday, I didn't realize we had stopped before the end of the paragraph. Well, we talked about yesterday the idea that that we learned that animals are generally afraid of people unless the person actually appears to the animal like another animal, meaning, in other words, that the person acts in a behemish way. So in this connection, and we mentioned in this connection that a lion won't usually attack two people. So in this connection, a person is not supposed to sleep in a house alone. If a person sleeps alone in a house, then he will be grabbed by Lilith, which is a female shed. The last line of the of Ois Kof Yud, in the middle of the page. Yeah. So this point is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and it mentions over there that if a person is in a situation where they have to sleep alone, then at least they should have a candle over there. And the Gemara mentions elsewhere that having a candle with you is kind of the equivalent of having another person. There is also some discussion about whether bayis over here means an entire separate house or whether it even means a room. So should can a person sleep alone in a room, and that's fine? Or are we saying even that, the Gemara is saying, is not good? It's brought actually about the Ma'aril, the famous Rishon that a lot of Minhag Ashkenaz sourced to him, that when he was older and his Rebbetzin had passed away, he would always make sure one of his Talmidim was sleeping in the room with him in order not to have this problem that we're describing over here. Okay, now the Gemara is going to resume with, we started talking about yesterday, some psukim from the end of Kehelas that talk about how the body breaks down when a person is old, and therefore that a person should be careful to do tshuva before that time comes. So we quoted, now we're at the beginning of Ois Kof Yud Aleph. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So we quoted one pasuk from the middle of it that refers to when the person actually passes away, and we mentioned in that connection that the stomach is going to swell up unless you keep it cool. Then we mention a pasuk that says that the first pasuk over there is Charis Barecha, Bimei B'chorei Secha, remember Hashem while you're still youthful and you have the power to do tshuva. So now the Gemara is going to resume with that and darshan more psukim in that section. The pasuk continues. The next pasuk goes. Ada shele sechach hashemesh va'or va'yirech va'kechavim v'shavu avim achar agoshem. So literally, it means before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars all become dark and the clouds come back after the rain. So now the Gemara is going to darshan phrase by phrase what this is referring to in a person's life. Ada shele sechach hashemesh zupadachas. That refers. The sun over here refers to a person's forehead. When a person is young, their forehead is smooth and it's shiny. Then when a person gets old, their forehead gets wrinkled and now it's not as shiny anymore. So Shlomo is using that as the metaphor. Then when he continues, the light, that refers to the nose, because the nose is the primary thing that you know, that you recognize the face by. In halacha, even you find a body and you can't recognize who it is, one way you tell is if you can recognize the forehead and the nose, then you have a positive identification. So we see that the nose is like the centerpiece of the face. The moon refers to the neshama, and one point that Bafo should make on that is the same way as the moon, unlike the sun, which goes down at night, the moon is always there. So even sometimes you see it during the day. So therefore that hints at the neshama, which is with a person all the time. Then the pasuk continues, before the stars go out, that refers to the cheeks. So Rashi explains on the pasuk, like you have a man's cheeks are largely covered with hair from their beard. So you have like the cheeks, a little bit of the skin like peeks out from among the dark hair, the same as you have like stars peeking out from the dark sky. So therefore, that's the metaphor for it. The shavur of him achar agoshem, and when it continues, the clouds will come back after the rain. That represents Zuma Ur Enav Shal Adam Shaholach Achar Abechi. This refers to the light of a person's eyes, a person's ability to see, which goes away after they cry. So in other words, Rashi explains, as a person gets older, they tend to cry more. A person is weaker, he has more tsaris coming on him, so therefore he's more prone to tears, and that ruins his eyesight.
Body pain.
Yeah. So Omar Shmuel, so in this connection, Shmuel says, Hai dim osa ada boyin shnin hadra. When a person cries up till 40 years old, then it weakens his eyes temporarily, but that weakness will, the strength of his eyes will still return after that. Mikanva elach loy hadra, after that it doesn't. So that's what we're saying over here, that when a person is older, then when he cries, it weakens his eyesight and it doesn't come back as much. So therefore, that's what we're saying, that v'shavu avim looks like clouds coming after the rain, that his eyes are clouding over and getting dim. V'omer Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman further says in this connection, Hai kuchla, as far as eye shadow, eye paint, that we've learned earlier in the Masechta, they used to put it in their eyes, people would put it around or in their eyes for cosmetics, but also it would be something to heal the eye, to improve a person's eyesight. So Rav Nachman says, Ada boin shnin marvach, up till 40 years old, when you apply this stuff, it improves your eyesight. Mikan ve'elach, from then on, afilo malya ka'avisna de gudoi, even if you have a tube of eyeshadow as big as the beam of a weaver, when he has a loom that he's weaving cloth, he has big rollers on the beginning and end that you roll first. On one end, you roll the chassis on it, and the other end, you roll the finished cloth. These are all very heavy beams. In fact, in many places in Tanakh, they're used as a metaphor when it talks about over there, as a comparison, when it talks about over there about the giants, about Goliath and his brothers or whatever. It'll say that they had a spear where the handle of it was the size of one of these beams of a weaver, just to give you an idea how big and powerful they were. Anyway, so Rav Nachman is saying, after 40 years old, even if you have a tube of eyeshadow as big as one of those beams, oikumi moikim, all it does is it preserves your eyesight and keeps it from getting worse, arvuchi loimarach, but it's not going to make your eyesight any better. So why is Rav Nachman telling us that? And why is he using this expression of like the size of a weaver's beam? He wants you to know, by the way, to come to Alam Makhula Tfei Mali. In general, the thicker the applicator that you use for the eyeshadow, the better it is. So it's true that when you have a thicker one, it has more of a good effect on the eye. But he's saying beyond 40 years old, all it's going to do is it's going to keep your eyesight from getting worse, but not make it any better. And besides, for all these things have the simple meaning, exactly what it sounds like, that these are all prescriptions for health. They also refer to different things that a person has to accomplish during their lifetime in terms of what a person should be, like we said, for example, the crying until 40 years old. So yeah, if a person is going to be crying tears of tshuva, they should do it when they're young and healthy and strong, rather than waiting until they're old. And similarly with some of these other things. The Gemara tells in this connection, Reb Chanina Shchivalei Brater, Reb Chanina's daughter passed away, Loi Hava Kabachi Yilava, and he wasn't crying for her. Omrile Devesu, so his wife says, Tarnagota Apkus and Besach, what did you just send out a chicken from the house that you're not even crying over her? Omallah, so Reb Chanina answers, Tauti, do you want me to suffer two things, Tichla Vavira? First of all, that I lost a child, and number two, that I'm going to go blind? Because he holds like what Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Ketzarta, sheish d'mois hein, that there are six different kinds of tears, shalish yofis for shalish rois, three of them are good for your eyes and three of them are bad. So unlike what we were saying before, Shmuel was saying that in general tears are not good for you after 40, Rabbi Yochanan is saying no, it depends what kind of tears we're talking about. And one of the bad ones, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, is when a person is crying because of a loss, so then that's bad for your eyes. So therefore, Rav Chanina was saying, I don't want to go with that. So Rav Yaakov Emden points out, Rav Chanina may have realized he is old, as we're saying before, and Bechlal, he may have had weak eyes in general. So he may have figured, you know, look, the halacha is true, shloisha lebchi, the first 3 days of Avelos is supposed to be a time for crying. First of all, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that doesn't necessarily mean it's required al pi halacha. It means that's the normal amount of time to cry. Beyond that, you need to stop crying and accept the Eibishter's judgment. But it can also mean Rabbi Chanina figured he's an onus in this situation. His eyes are in such a condition that if he cries over his daughter, over the loss of his daughter, he's going to go blind, and therefore he's holding himself back and not doing that. This expression, by the way, that his wife says, Tanugodot to Apkus mi Besach, did you send away a chicken from your house, is a little interesting in itself. Why is she saying you sent away? Then Yehoyada says, because after all, we learned earlier in the Masechta that sometimes a person's children can pass away as a result of their Averis. as a result of the parents' averus, Rahman al-Islam. So she's saying to your husband, you know, it seems like you may have been a contributing factor to her death. And now on top of that, you're not even crying. So what's going on? So what are the six kinds? Shall oshan v'shal bechi v'shal beis hakiseh, the tears that come from smoke or from crying over a loss or something, or from the bathroom when a person is having a hard time going to the bathroom and straining and then tearing from that. Royce, those are bad for your eyes, says Rabbi Yechanan. Shall sam, on the other hand, the kind that you get from applying a medicine or a cream or whatever to the eye, v'shal schoik, or tears of laughter, v'shal peiros, or the kind that you get from certain kinds of sharp produce, for example, Rashi says mustard, those yafos, those are good for your eyes. Onion tears would be another example of pasture. So those kind of good for your eyes, but the kind that Rav Chanina would have had for the loss of his daughter are not good, and therefore he says, I don't want to cry for her. Next, going back to the pasuk in Kehelas, the pasuk continues, by Yom Shiyazu Anshe Abayis Vis Absu Vagomer. So let's let the whole pasuk goes, by Yom Shiyazu Shemin Abayis, on the day that the guardians of the house tremble, Vis Absu Anshe Choyl, and the mighty soldiers are become crooked. The grinders become fewer. I'm quoting the whole pasuk first, and then we'll do the Gemara phrase by phrase. The grinders become fewer. The grinders stop working because there were fewer of them. And the ones that look through the skylights or through the peepholes have gone dark. So now the Gemara is going to explain, again, phrase by phrase, that this is talking about what happens as a person gets older. By Yom Shiyazu Shemir Abayis, when the guardians of the house tremble, that means these absolute Shemir Abayis, Eilak Solim Vatzlois. The guardians of the house refers to a person's sides and refer to a person's sides and ribs. They protect his internal organs. So now, as a person gets older, then those are not functioning as well as they were supposed to. When it continues, the mighty soldiers become crooked. That refers to the legs. They're called the mighty men because they support the whole weight of the body. And when a person gets older, then they don't always work the way they should. When it says the grinders stop working, that means the teeth. The person's teeth fall out. And then when it continues, the ones that see through the skylights or through the peepholes, that refers to the eyes. So the person's eyes, the person starts losing his eyesight. Marsha explains, before we were talking about the kind of thing where a person loses his eyesight because of tears. Here we're just talking about, forget about tears. Just a person gets old, that itself weakens their eyesight. So in this connection, the Gemara interjects, Omele Kesa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The Roman emperor says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, my time ale osis le bei avidam. Why did you not come to Bei Avidan? We had Bei Avidan earlier in the Masechta as well. Rashi explained over there and over here that it means it would be a place where Minim would argue with Jews over Psukim. So it was a place that Rabbi Yeshua was expected to go there. We find, in fact, in many places in Shas, Rabbi Yeshua had arguments had debates with Minim and with the emperor himself a number of times, and with the famous elders of Athens and so on and so forth. And he always bested them. So therefore, the Kesar was wondering, why didn't you come there to participate in those debates? So Rabbi Yeshua answers him. Basically, he's going to answer that he's old, but he uses a metaphorical way of expressing it. Turtlag, the mountain is covered with snow. In other words, my hair is white. Sachranohi Gludin, the area around the mountain is full of ice. In other words, not only my hair of my head has turned white, not only my scalp has turned white, but also my payas and my beard, and my mustache and my beard. Kalbohi Loinavkin, the dogs don't bark. In other words, I can't speak loudly anymore. The grinders don't grind, meaning my teeth aren't working anymore. And they Rav Amri, and the Shiva of Rav, Marsha says a different possibility. Tachnohi can also mean not just the teeth, it can also mean his stomach, because his digestive system is not working properly anymore. And they Rav Amri, and in the Yeshiva of Rav, they added another point that Rabbi Yeshua added, Adeloy Avidna Bachishna. I'm searching for things that I haven't lost. So there's a few explanations of that. Rashi says that it means that because I'm old, I walk around bent over. So I look constantly like I'm looking for something that I dropped, but really it's just because I'm old. Rabbi Hanan also has a different explanation that he says when a person is older, they're more concerned about bumping into things. So like they feel around with their hands in front of them to make sure that there's nothing in the way that they'll bang their head against or something. So therefore it looks like he's looking around for something.
So the depth perception goes.
Perception also goes. That's also part of it. And Eitz Yosef brings another point as well, that it means when a person gets old, they become forgetful. So a lot of times, you know, we've all had the experience, you know, our glasses are up on our head and we can't find them. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying then the same kind of thing. Now, there is something deeper behind that. So ultimately, in other words, he's saying I'm old and I can't really go to these things anymore. But enough. So first of all, Anaf Yosef points out that he's saying that the Kesar is asking, look, I know that the Minim are constantly trying to harass you Jews, and I know that you Rabbi Yeshua, are the great expert and the great defender of the Jewish people. So what do you think is going to happen to your people if you stop coming? So he answers them. He gives this answer that I'm old, but he mentions, in other words, that when he mentions the dogs don't bark and the grinders don't grind, he also means to hint at the idea these minim themselves won't have the power to be able to be so aggressive against us Jews in the future, such that I should be needed to defend them. You find, in fact, in Gemara and Chagiga, where you have something like that. Right before Rabbi Yeshua passed away, the Chachamim asked him, what's going to happen with us and the Minim when you're not around anymore to defend us against them? And he answers them with a pasuk that the import of the pasuk is that when the Chochma is gone from the Jewish people, then the Eitzah, the Chochma, the corresponding Chochma, is also gone from the Goyim, because Zelu Masel Selekim. So when I'm gone, then they're also going to lose some of their ability to be able to do this kind of thing. What? They're also getting old, it's true, but there's still going to be other generations of them, but yeah. So. Right, yeah. Anyway, Ben Yehoyada says another very interesting point on this. He says that this that Rabbi Yeshua is talking about, that he says the mountain is white and the surroundings of it are icy and so forth. He's also referring to the fact that metaphorically, he's referring to the fact that his Yetzahara is no longer operational. That's it. Particularly mentions about the dogs not barking. So then the question would be, in that case, if he's already accomplished everything he needs to in the world, why taka is he still living? And Rabbi Yeshua answers, Rabbi Yeshua adds the last point, Adaloy Avidna Bachishna. I've accomplished everything I need to do personally as far as Avodas Habirurim, but there are still other people who have a connection to my neshama where they have not. They have done different Avodas, and because of them, I still need to exist in the world. Adaloy Avidna, things that I didn't cause to get lost among Kochas Atuma, Bachishna, I need to search for them now, things that other people cause to be scattered among the clippers, that I need to go and find them and elevate them, and that's why I'm still alive. Yeah. So the Gemara continues in this vein about what happens when a person gets old. Tanya Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma Omer, Tova Trei Mitlas. A person is much better when he has two than when he has three. When a person is young, he walks on his own two legs. Then when he gets older, he needs a third thing. He needs a cane to walk on. So a person is much better off when they're younger than when they're older. And one point of it is, I mean, besides obviously the fact that a person has greater koichas, there's also Ben Yehoyada makes the point, as we've been saying throughout the sugya, that it also means a person has a greater capacity to do tshuva then. When a person does tshuva, when he's young and healthy and strong and still has the ability to do averus and then still does tshuva and holds himself back, then that's a much more meaningful kind of tshuva than the kind that a person does when he's old and he can't do it anyway. And he continues, woe to the one thing, youth, that goes away and never comes back. You know, you have the expression in English, youth is wasted on the young. So basically, in other words, that youth only lasts for a certain amount of time. Take advantage of it while you have it, which is ultimately what Shlomo HaMelech is saying in these psukim. Further on, so the Gemara says, "Maihi, what exactly do we mean? In what way are you, in what way is youth better than old age?" What's the one thing? We mean youth, that a person has his youth only for a certain amount of time, and then it goes away. He also Rav Dimi Omer, and when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, you can think of it like this, Yankusa Klula Devarda. Youth is like a crown of roses. Savusa Klula Dechilfi. Old age is like a crown of thorns or weeds. In other words, the point is, Marashar explains, a rose is a very important, beautiful thing, but it doesn't last for very long, whereas thorns last for a long time. So therefore, in other words, so youth only lasts a certain amount of time. Old age lasts for much longer. Also, he points out that you also have a person's hair has color to it when he's young, and then it becomes white when he's old. So it's literally more like a rose versus like a more colorless thorn. Continues the Gemara. Tonim b'shmeidet abneir doik b'kachri v'tishkach b'nagri. Chew your food carefully with your teeth. Or not chew it carefully, but eat a lot with your teeth, and you'll find it in your steps. So Rashi explains the word doik means to chew, bekachi with your teeth, betishkach, and you'll find the strength that it gives you, benagri in your steps, nagri being the Aramaic word for steps. Which Marashah says the connection of this to what we just said. We said before, we started quoting the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech had said, "Do tshuva ad asher lo yavoyu yemei hara," before the bad times come. And we said that means old age, when a person doesn't have their full strength anymore. But now we're saying, on the other hand, if a person is careful to eat well when he's younger, then his yemei hazikna won't be yemei hara. He'll still have much more of his strength. Shanamah, as the Pasuk says, the context of this Pasuk is the Jewish people saying to Yirmiyah, we used to be well off when we worshipped Avodah Zarah. Now that we stopped worshipping Avodah Zarah, we're in Golos and we're much worse off, which is not correct at all, of course, but still, they use the expression, Vanisbal Lechem, we used to be satisfied with bread, Vaniya Tovim, and we were good, V'ra'a Loira'inu, and we never saw bad. So the Gemara is using that as a hint for the idea that when Vanisbal Lechem, when you eat properly, then Vaniya Tovim, V'ra'a Loira'inu, then we'll have a good, that a person will have a good life, and he won't see bad. In other words, his old age won't be weak. And of course, it also refers to filling a person, filling himself up with the bread of Torah. That then, as the Gemara is going to later on quote from the end of Kinim, that Tamar Chachamim, the older they get, the wiser they get. So therefore, if a person has been careful to fill himself up with the bread of Torah when he was younger, then his old age will be a good old age.
Also, the point of no return again. All they don't have the head that they used to have.
So that's what we're going to quote later in the Gemara. We'll learn it tomorrow, Best Hashem, probably, that Tamid Chachamim, the older they get, the wiser they get. There's, in fact, a sicha on that in Chelek Yud Zayin. So when we get to that piece of Gemara, we'll talk about it, Best Hashem, what all that means. But yeah. So further, in this connection, Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Yeshua, or Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin, a sharp one, which that was Rabbi Shmuel's nickname for Rabbi Yehuda, Shori Sokach, open up your sack, meaning your mouth, V'ayalachma, and put in the bread. In other words, again, same idea, eat lots of bread when you're younger. Ad Aboin Shinin Mechla Mali, because up until 40 years old, it's better for you to eat. Mikan Ve'elach Mishti Mali, after that, drinking is better for you. Not so much eating, but drinking. Because at that point, the pastures, your digestive system is starting to not work as well, maybe. There is a remez in it that's brought from the Vilna Gaon that it also means up to 40, a person should be focusing on Nigla, and after that, a person should be focusing more on Tertus, on Nister, and Kabbalah. So that's represented respectively by food and drink. So further in this connection, also talking about symptoms of old age, we're going to talk about now Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, who was bald. So Marsha points out that since we find in other Gemaras in Megillah that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho lived long, and we're going to describe in this Gemara over here that he was bald. Why did he become bald? The pashtus, because he lived long, and eventually his hair fell out. So therefore, the Gemara is bringing a story in this connection. So Omaleahu goizah l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho. A certain Swiss, Rashi describes he was a min, and he was also a Swiss. He was one of these people who was incapable of having children. Could mean he was born that way, could mean he became that way later, whatever, it doesn't matter for our purposes. Anyway, but he was a min, so he liked to harass and make fun of the Chachamim. So he says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, Mehochol Karchina Kamahab. How far is it from here to Karchina? Now, Karchina is an actual name of a place, but he meant it as like, how far is it from here to Bald Town, let's say. Like, he's trying to make fun of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho for his baldness. By the way, Tosfos mentions a couple of blocks earlier when it mentions Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho in a matter of halacha. Tosfos brings up the possibility that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho may have been Rabbi Akiva's son. Now, Rabbi Akiva himself, we also find, Ben Azeh calls him in Brochus, he calls him a Kereah Hazeh, this bald one. So if Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho is Rabbi Akiva's son, then it may have been a hereditary thing, that he also became bald in his old age. But Tosfos says maybe not. Tosfos says that maybe he was Rabbi Akiva's son, maybe not. They make a whole calculation there as far as the chronology. Maybe it works out, maybe not. One possibility that's been brought up is, we know that when Rabbi Akiva went to learn Torah, he was 40 years old, and Abba Sid of Nosson says he already had a son at that time. So it's possible that Rabbi Shor ben Korcha is actually that son that he had from his first marriage before he ever even married Rachel. And therefore we find by the time he meets up with Rebbe, he was already very old. So then it would work out better chronologically. Anyway, so
some of them were so sharp, but they had a lot of chutzpah. You see, like, you find the other guy going bald.
Yeah.
Very sharp and very full of chutzpah.
Yeah. Anyway, so he asks, how far is it from here to Kalchina? Like, he's trying to make fun of him for his boldness. And Marsha explains also that what he's saying is, how much of an advantage can there already be? How much of a greatness can somebody who's bold be? Somebody who's bold, in other words, in effect, he's saying somebody who's bold can't be a very important person. Amalei, so Rabbi Shor ben Korcha answers him, kimehocha legoizina, exactly the same as the distance from here to Goizina, where Goizina is related to the word Gabza, which means the Soris. So he's saying this is the same distance that it is, or the same importance as the Soris has, you yourself being a Soris, so therefore you're don't think you're any better than me. Amalei mina, so the min continues, he says, barcha karcha ba'arba. You know, a bold sheep, or sometimes the Gemara Barcha Karcha actually means a goat, which doesn't have wool on it like the way a sheep does. But Arba, you can buy that for 4 zuzim. So in other words, again, he's trying to make fun of him that you're worth no more than a goat that you could buy for 4 zuzim. Omalei, so Rabbi Shor ben Korcha answers him, Akira Shlifa Batmanya. On the other hand, when you have a sheep. That they castrated, then people will buy it for 8 zuzim. Again, referring to the guy being a soris, saying, in other words, that sure, yeah, fine, you know, you're better than me in that regard. You're worth twice. You're worth eight for eating, whereas I'd be worth only 4. Then Chazir de Lysim Masone. Then the min noticed that Rabbi Shor ben Korcha was not wearing shoes. Now, why not? In fact, especially if we say that Rabbi Shor ben Korcha was Rabbi Akiva's son, in Gemara in Psachim, Rabbi Akiva tells his son, make sure to always wear shoes. And we had earlier in the Masechta how important it is, even sell the beams of your house to buy shoes. So why is he not? Marsha says that it may have been a day when you're not allowed to wear shoes, Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says another possibility is that he may have had sores on his feet or something, so he couldn't wear shoes. But there is also the possibility that maybe he was very poor, in which case that brings up an interesting point, because we know that Rabbi Akiva was very rich. So how does it come about if Rabbi Shor ben Korcha is his son, then he was poor? So there could be a few possibilities. Again, one possibility is if he was Rabbi Akiva's son from before he started learning Torah, by the time he himself became a Talmid Chacham, maybe Rabbi Akiva was still poor at that time. He only became rich afterwards when he came back with his 24,000 Talmidim and Kal v'Savor gave him half his money. But the other possibility is maybe after Rabbi Akiva was executed by the Romans, maybe they confiscated all his wealth, and therefore Rabbi Shor ben Korcha was left with nothing. So we really don't know. There's a lot of possibilities. Anyway, so this guy sees that he's not wearing shoes. Omerlei, so the guy says, you know, Da'al Sus Melech, a person who rides on a horse is a king. Da'al Chamor ben Chur, and a person who at least rides on a donkey is a free man, is an important person. Udmin Oli Braglohi Bar Inish. A person who doesn't have any of those, he has to walk on foot, but at least he has shoes on his feet, is at least a human being. Deloy hav, loy hav, a person has none of the above, the chofer recover, tabmine, then somebody whose grave has been dug for him and he's been buried in it is better off than him. So in other words, he's putting down Rabbi Shor ben Korcha for not wearing shoes. Amalei, so he says, Gabza, you soris, tlas amitli, you told me 3 things, a horse, a donkey, and shoes, that those are the 3 things a person ought to have. Tlas amiloch, I'll answer you back with 3 things as well. Hadras ponim zoken, the beauty of the face comes from a man has a beard on his face, it makes his face noble and beautiful. Simchas lev isha, what makes a person's heart happy is when he has a wife. Nachos Hashem bonim, what's the heritage of Hashem is when a person has children. Baruch hamokom shemanoi lo oseh shmikolam. So Hashem should be blessed that he prevented you from having all those 3 things. You're a soris, so you don't grow a beard. You don't have a wife because no woman wants to marry a soris. And children, you're incapable of having. So you're worse off. In other words, so you think I'm bad off because I don't have shoes. You're worse off that you don't have any of those things that a person should have in life. Omalei, so the guy says, Karcha Matzviyana. You baldy who are coming to argue with me. How could you do that? How you're bald. How dare you come and argue with me? Matz matziyana maloshin matz maloshin larivu matza, which means an argument. Omrale, said Rabbi Shrov. So Rabbi Shrov and Kocha answers it. Yeah. So Rabbi Shrov. So with that said, Marsha, on the other hand, explains. On the other hand, Marsha explains the word matsuyana doesn't mean an argumentative person. It means that you have a mark on you that you're bold. You have your mark permanently by your boldness. And that's a mum. So he answers, Akira Shlifa Techacha, you soris, you're coming to start arguments with me. Or Marsha says that it means that it's a greater hechacha, it's a greater demonstration that you have more of a mum. To be bold, after all, is not such a mum for an old person. It's natural that they go bold. And in fact, Pesher Agadta points out, in addition, you actually have a koyin can be bald on part of his head, and he's still not possible for the avoda, as long as he has hair going around the back of his head from ear to ear, as opposed to you who are sardis are definitely a baal mum, and therefore, in other words, your mum is more glaringly obvious even than mine. So what's going on over here behind the scenes? Pesher Agadta gives an explanation, for example, the first part about where he's making fun of him for his boldness, and Rabbi Shrov ben Kocha is answering him back about it being a sris. So the guy's arguing, Pesher Agadta explains, he's saying, look, first of all, hair represents rachmim. So the fact that you've lost your hair indicates that you no longer have the quality of rachmanos. Second of all, what would be one of the things that causes a person to lose his hair, to age prematurely and to lose his hair, the Gemara is going to talk about soon, is that a person is very much into znus, or into bachlal, into having relations, even with his own wife. The Rambam explains in Hilchos Deis that still too much overindulging and it weakens a person. So therefore, in effect, he's accusing Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha of saying, why is it you're bold? Number one, must be because you're too much into that kind of thing, into your taivus. Number two, you obviously have lost your sense of rachmanus. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha answers him on the contrary. He says, you are a soris. You know, you don't have children. That itself means you have a lack of rachmanus. A person who never had children doesn't know what true rachmanus is. And you yourself would have been a baal taiva, except Hashem did a favor in order that you shouldn't and made you into a soris. And he explains the rest of the whole back and forth in the same vein that the guy is trying to point out to Rabbi Shrov ben Kocha that he has various spiritual flaws, and Rabbi Shrov ben Kocha is throwing it right back in his face and showing that he has greater ones.
Beard is a
makapur, it means rachmi. That's true, right. But the hair of the head also. So for example, you have there's one of Daniel's visions in Sefer Daniel. He describes metaphorically that he sees Hashem sitting on a throne. He describes al reshet hamar nekei, the hair of his head was like white wool. And it's explained in Zohar and other places that refers to Hashem's midas rachmim. So yeah, so there's a certain connection between the hair of the head and rachmim. So this guy is arguing that Rabbi Shrov ben Kocha has lost that, and Rabbi Shrov ben Kocha is saying, on the contrary, you who don't have children have even less rachmim, because we find, for example, that you're not allowed to have a soris, is not allowed to be a member of the Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin has to be able to have rachmanus on a person who's being judged in front of them and try to find every possible way to exonerate him, and a soris is not going to be able to do that. Yeah. Okay. More on the topic of old age, the Gemara says, Omalei Rebbe L'Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. Why did we not greet you on the Yom Tov like the way my ancestors greeted your ancestors? Now, really, it's the other way around. Rebbe is the Nasi. The previous generations of Rav Shimon ben Chalafta's family would go to meet the Nasiim. We find, for example, that Chalafta, the ancestor of the family, lived still in times of the Beis Hamikdash, and he was close with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and afterwards his son Rav Yosi ben Chalafta was close with Rav Gamliel, and so forth. So really, Rebbe means, why did you, Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, not come to visit me on Yom Tov? But because Rebbe was an onav, he phrased it the other way around, that why didn't I come to visit you? But anyway, Amalei. So Rav Shimon ben Chalafta answers him again with a similar metaphor about being old. Sloim ktanim nasu gvoyim. The small rocks have become tall. Because in other words, I'm walking down the street. Even small rocks are a big obstacle for me. Kroivim nasu rechokim, things that used to be close seem to be further away now, because now it's harder to walk the distance. It can also mean that things that I used to be able to see close up, now I can't even see from far because my eyes are weak.
Bifocals,
yeah. Mishtayim nasu shloisha, the two have turned into three, because like we said before, I used to be able to walk on my own 2 feet and now I need a cane. Mesim shalom, a bias bottle, and the thing that brings about shalom in the house has ceased to work. Rashi says that means the Aver Tashmish. So in other words, like this, there used to be that with that, you make a husband and shalom, a husband and wife make shalom, and now it doesn't work anymore. Now, why is it relevant to mention that over the fact that he's not coming to visit Rebbe? Mefoshim explained, in other words, let's say, so he were to go visit Rebbe, so he'd be away from home for Yomper. So his wife might object to it. So if the Mason Shalom Babayis is still functional, then fine, he can make it up to her with that. But when it's not working anymore, then there's less of an ability to make Shalom in the house, and therefore he's concerned that there shouldn't be friction in the house in the first place.
Right. The only way you're supposed to have relationship before
going. That's true, but still, she might object to the fact that he's away for so long. So yeah. Rashi gives another explanation on Krovim Nasu Rechokim, which is that when a person is younger, they can hold their feet together, they can stand with their feet together and keep their balance. But when a person is older, they need to keep their feet a little further apart in order to keep their balance. So therefore we say, map that also, I can't stand like that and then with my feet together like I used to be able to. Okay. Now the Gemara continues after that digression. Now it continues gaushening the psukim from Kehelas. The next pasuk goes, the sugru, again, I'll quote the whole pasuk and then the Gemara will douch in it phrase by phrase. The sugru d'lasayim bashuk, the doors will be closed in the marketplace. The shfal kol atachna, when the sound of the grinding has become low and weak. The yokoim l'kol atzipor, he's going to get up to the sound of the bird. The yishachu kol b'nois ashir, and all the daughters of song will be low. That's how the pasuk goes. So now, again, doushing phrase by phrase of what happens when a person gets older. The sugrud l'asayim bashuk, when it says the doors will close in the marketplace, elun the kov of shaladim, that refers to a person's orifices. Person is old, he has a harder time going to the bathroom. Bishfal kol atachna, because the sound of the grinding has become low, that means bishfal kukav anshein atochen, because the stomach is not grinding up the food anymore, so therefore, in other words, the digestive system is not working the way it should, and therefore also, and then therefore the person can't go to the bathroom as easily. The yokoim l'kol atzipor, when it continues, he wakes up, he gets up to the sound of the bird, that means shafil atzipor mina out in mishnasei, an old person, even a bird, will wake him up from his sleep. So Marsha points out, like this, younger people sometimes would have a pet bird that would sing to them and help them go to sleep. Here with an old person, the other way around, even the sound of a bird chirping is enough to wake them up. Yeah. And when the pasuk continues, that all the daughters of song will be low, that means shafilo kol shirim v'shira is domesol of tesifa. Even the sound of singers sounds to him like talking. Like his ears are not sensitive to the tones anymore, and therefore it just sounds like talking to him. Af Barzila Agilodi Omer LaDavid. In fact, we find Barzila Agilodi saying such a thing to David. Barzila Agilodi was a Yid who lived in Gilad in Eivra Yarden. During the time when David was on the run from Avshalom, he wound up in Eivra Yarden eventually, because that was the only safe place where he'd be safe. And there were a couple of rich Yidden over there, one of them being this Barzila Agilodi, supported him and all of his entourage during the time they were there. So now, when the whole thing is over and Avshalom is killed and David is coming back to Yerushalayim, he offers Barzilai, you come back with me to Yerushalayim and I'll take care of you there the way you took care of me in Eivra Yarden. So Barzilai answers with a pasuk, Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Ayom, he says, I'm 80 years old today, Ha'eda Ben Tov L'ra. Do I know the difference between good and bad anymore? And the Gemara interjects. That means Mekansha Daitan Shalskenim Mishtanis. From here we see that old people's what they like and what they don't like changes. So in other words, that now changes to foolishness, as the Gemara is going to quote later about Ziknei Ami Ha'aretz. So in other words, like I can't even tell the difference between what's good and what's bad anymore, because like my mind is going. He continues, Im Yitam Abdecha Esa Sha'ucha Ve'esa Sha'eshta. Can your servant, meaning I, taste what I eat or drink? Mikansha sifs the same. Shalskenim misraptis. From here we see that old people's lips become, Rashi explains, misraptis means chapped. The Rabbeinu Hananel rather says it means they become floppy. They become loose and the person drools. So I can't taste my food anymore. He continues, can I hear any more the sound of male or female singers? From here we see that old people's ears become heavy. So we see, in other words, that what Shlomo is describing Kehelas is exactly what happened to Barzillai over here. However, Omar Rav, Barzillai Gilodi Shakorah. However, Rav says Barzillai Gilodi was a liar. How could he say at 80 he didn't have the ability to taste food anymore? Dahi Amsta, Dahavoi Beis Rebbe, there was a maidservant in Rebbe's household, Bas Tishin Betarutin Shnin. She was 92 years old, Bahavas Tama Kidra, and she could still taste the food that she's cooking to tell whether it's flavored properly or not. And he's 80, which is much younger. Especially the point is, Mephoshim point out, in earlier times, people were generally stronger. Barzillai lived 1,000 years before this Amsa de Beis Rebbe. Shouldn't have been that at 80 he should be much stronger. However, Rava Amar Barzillai Gilodi Shtotuf B'Zima Hava. He was very much into Zima. It can mean Znus. It can just mean, like we said before, just having relations. It may have just been, not necessarily he's being Mazane, but just like he's overindulging in relations. B'chola Shtotuf B'Zima Zikna Kefetzis Olav. And that causes old age to come on him more quickly, as the Rama mentions in Hilchos Deis. So therefore, so yes, at 80, he didn't have these abilities, but it's true that if a person didn't do that, then he would be vigorous at a much older age. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Chof Gimel 7. A person's life leaves them when they die, but the purpose of that is in order that there should be a greater increase and a greater a chidush of their chayas when the neshama comes back into the guf, by Tchias HaMesim, where then the life of the neshama is going to be in a guf and it'll be an eternal life. As it says at the end of Ksubas, that it says, tzaddikim, the tzaddikim will sprout forth in Yerushalayim, and the tzaddikim will stand up in their clothes, and we have a kavachomer from a grain of wheat that grows with many layers on it. So therefore, you're going to have neshamas in physical bodies, in Olam Hazeh Gashmi, but everything there will be with the uttermost perfection, and therefore those bodies with the neshamas in them will live forever. Amen. Continuing on.
I am Iskin. You've maybe seen that a long time
ago. Continuing on halachas, if a person is selling something, if a person is selling land or a house or whatever, and different people want to come and buy it, then you have the whole concept of bar metzra, that if one of them is the neighbor, then you have then he has first rights. If neither one of them is, then you have, if one of them lives in that city and the other one is from a different city, then your fellow city person comes first. If they're both from the same city, but one of them is a neighbor, then he has first rights. Otherwise, if one of them is a good friend of him, then the friend comes first, if the neighbor is not so close with him. If one of them is a friend and the other is a relative, the friend comes first, because we have the pasuk Tov Shochan Karev Ma'och Rochek. A close neighbor is better than a far away brother. Other than that, if it's within other people, then a relative comes first, except for a Talmud Chacham has first rights, even above everybody else. And then we'll continue tomorrow and talk briefly about the concept of Bar Metzra and Bar Zichin.